when you met with the Forest Service here in Sitka, were you able to sort of offer a concrete example of practices that might translate to the Tongass?
You know, a lot of what we talked about actually that translates best, you know, some of the forest operations and the different equipment you would use and the different techniques and even to some extent prescriptions for forest thinning, dew transfer. But really, we talked a lot about collaboration, about how we can redefine the relationship between the Forest Service and communities, conservation groups, contractors, value-added producers, sawmills. That's what translates best, perhaps, is how do you build new partnerships and work together in new ways to get past, you know, what are old battles and conflict over old growth harvest and move into, you know, something that people can get behind, which is, you know, sustainable harvest of second growth, restoration, you know, more broad ecosystem restoration focusing on salmon. There's a lot more common ground than there ever has been. And we, you know, that's what people in the Pacific Northwest have been struggling to find for a long time and, you know, have.
Is stewardship tipping towards sustainability in the lower 48 yet? Or are you still at the point where you're kind of having to find funding like stimulus packages and grants to kind of push the wave?
It varies all over the, you know, particularly around the West, but around the country, you know, whether stewardship pays or not, in both the short and long term varies. You know, it's always going to cost a lot of money to go to remote islands and, you know, harvest small wood that is of inherently low value, and bring it into town and, you know, make products out of it. And so there are places in Oregon where trees grow like weeds and where there's a very robust and mature, you know, forest products sector that's very diverse, where people are competing, where it more than pays for itself. They make great money, you know, in coastal Oregon in forests, not unlike yours, but with sawmills 20 miles away. On the Tongass, I don't know. You know, in the long term, you know, I don't like to think much more out than, you know, 10 years. In 20 years, who knows? I would like to think so, and that, you know, your second growth isn't going to look like it looks today. It's going to be, you know, a bigger mix of larger size trees, higher quality trees. But in the short term, it's inevitably going to cost money. It does all over the western states. They pay $500 an acre, $1,000 an acre, $2,000 an acre to do good work that communities, that the American taxpayer believes is worth paying. And, you know, down there, it's, you know, jointly to reduce fuels and protect communities and to restore habitat. Here it's maybe to restore habitat, to provide a sustainable supply of wood for some forest-dependent communities, and to protect salmon habitat. You know, it's going to cost money. It's going to cost a lot more money on the front end as you sort of kickstart it, and we've seen that around the West. And as that stewardship program work becomes more mature and contractors get more experience and they get the right kind of equipment to do the job efficiently and effectively, and as more value-added producers sort of carve out their niches and see that there's this sustainable supply of wood coming, it might not be the wood that they used to use, but it's still coming consistently, entrepreneurs find a way and they add value, and contractors find a way and they reduce costs. And you know, over time, it comes closer to breaking even. Now, whether it does or not on the Tongass, I can't really predict, but I do believe that the American taxpayer wants to restore the Tongass and believes that, you know, healthy communities in the Tongass matter, and I hope believes that sustainable wood supply from our national forests is still a compatible use.